1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041kqth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
Welcome to American Warrior Radio, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. In the decade and a half since American Warrior Radio has been on the air, we've had some big guests, but I have no hesitation in saying today's guest is the biggest, literally. In 1 month, he has gone from just a quiet man doing his job to an internet and media sensation. It all began with a June 6th tweet by CNN White House correspondent Kate Bennett. Innocent enough, simple picture of some White House chefs tending an outdoor grill, preparing food for the iftar meal, which celebrates the breaking of the Ramadan fast. The photo immediately went viral. You see, one of the chefs in the photos goes by the name, nickname Tiny. Now, if you know anything about the military, the nicknames they dispense are often ironic and the polar opposite of what a person truly represents. Think about, for example, in the Western movie where the character named Amarillo Slim is actually a fat guy from Colorado. Tiny is a 285-pound mountain of a man with 24-inch biceps, and he's been known to eat 4 whole chickens a day. He is big. But I tell you what, in getting to know Tiny over the past several weeks, I've come to realize that the messages he sends out and what he stands for as an Army veteran is so much bigger than even his massive frame. I'm glad he's joining us on the phone and not in studio. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, retired Army Master Sergeant and Chef Andre Rush.
Thank you. How are you?
Well, are we still friends?
We'll talk about it. Of course we are.
Well, Andre, we're so pleased to have you. Literally, you've gone from, I don't want to say no one had heard of you, but in the last 60 days, I mean, you're on TV. You're featured in the Food and Wine magazine. You're all over the place, sir.
Apparently.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to spend with us here on American Warrior Radio. Now, remember, Andre, I know you do regular tweets with 60-second messages. We've got an agreement. You're going to talk longer than 60 seconds at a time, yeah?
We are talking longer than 60.
So, a kid from Mississippi rising to become a chef at the White House, that's a great story. Let's go back to the beginning. When did your love of cooking begin?
My love of cooking, well, of course, I'm from Mississippi. It's the hot challenge state. My mother, all Southern. So we all had those sit down family, you know, tradition where everybody congregated and socialized and just did the whole family thing with cooking. So food brought us together and, food's still in my life to this day and still going. But my mom actually kind of did that. I have five sisters, which none of them can cook. And it was three boys, and we all cooked. she kind of did that with us. But we're also hard workers as well. So, but cooking is something that I do a lot because I love to eat.
Well, in a family that size, I guess you're making 4 chickens anyway. It's just that now you're eating them all by yourself.
Well, I had to work out to kind of fight for them because I was the youngest.
Now, how did a young man with a passion for cooking, what inspired you to join the Army, Chef?
So giving back. I mean, that was doing something greater. I graduated with an art, a football, and track scholarship. And even with that, I still felt like I was missing something. I wanted something more and contemplated, you know, different services without telling anyone, which my brother was actually in the Navy at the time when I joined. I didn't even let him know that I was joining the Army because he probably would have tried to convince me to go to the Navy or whatever, and I just wanted to do something on my own. So I ventured out and said I wanted to serve my country, and the Army it was.
Now, you served 23 years in the Army, Chef. You retired again at the rank of Master Sergeant. In that time, you did deploy. I found a really interesting story about when you were in Iraq, and there was a VIP who wanted a special meal for his staff. So you had to do kind of some wrangling to locate the entree, didn't you? Do you want to tell us that story?
Well, that's actually multiple times.
Okay.
So I was an aide, which I was a Zulu 5, which I also did PSD work as far as, you know, going out doing red missions and red zones and things of the sort.
Andre, let me interrupt you. A lot of our listeners are civilians, so explain those terms to us, if you would.
So you are part of a team which is designated to protect a certain person or individuals. And when you have to go into a high-threat area where it may be dangerous, in a small entity, you have contractors, you have military personnel that congregate, develop a team, you know, with skills, and they go out and do things in small numbers instead of in the masses. And that's what we did. That was one of my jobs that I did. But also, as far as being an advisor, as an enlisted aide, and as doing that, my principal, I did special meals for certain individuals that we had there to show gratitude. Even though we were there in Iraq or whatever, I had the skills I'm a chef, of course. So what I would do, he would give me Cote Blanc, and I would just go and wrangle up food from wherever, however, and I would make these, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 course meals with from 1,000 different directions and put them together. And it was one of the most rewarding, and even to this day, people still thank me. The last time somebody thanked me for that, for what I did, was probably 2 days ago.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, so maybe someday you'll release a cookbook on how to get creative with MREs?
Exactly right.
Okay. I say, even for someone with your skills. Let's talk a little bit about that. You are retired. Your last assignment, as I understand it, Chef, you were the senior enlisted aide to the superintendent of West Point. Very impressive. You were responsible. You had a $100,000 food and beverage budget, and you're cooking for, I guess, hundreds of VIPs.
Actually, a little bit more.
Okay.
So in the food industry, you have things that you do. When you think of a chef, you think of a chef, this person that cooks. You know, a cook is anybody. Anybody can be a great chef, but if you don't know behind the scenes, the bottom lines, for instance, in my job at West Point, cooking was actually the easy part for me. The other part was I did out of control. I did, I was a card holder, signed for pieces of the museum pieces and house and the structures, the PMP, AR-37-47, just so many different things. Then it comes to the cooking part where you work a protocol and you have to get the dietary restrictions. You have to get what people eat, can't eat, allergens. So it's a whole slew of things that goes together with just cooking. You know, just like in the White House, everything has a purpose and has to be thought out. Sometimes it can take weeks and sometimes take months and sometimes it can take a year just to get things together.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad you answered that because I was thinking as I was preparing for the show, I wonder what he did with the AR-347-37-C, subparagraph 6. I don't know what that is, Andre, but it sounds impressive.
That sounds impressive with you saying it.
And so, yeah, the only reason I can get away with this is because you're on the other side of the country with your 24-inch biceps. I don't have to worry about it today. But let's, I tell you, we're going to take a break here in about a minute. When we come back, I want to talk about your path to the White House. You have served, what, 3 or 4 presidents?
3.
Okay. Folks, we're joined live on the phone by Chef Andre Rush. He's a gentle giant, and he's got some very big messages to share, not just about food. We'll be talking about veterans' issues and lots of other stuff as well. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by... I'm getting some feedback there if you want to take care of that. live radio, Chef. What can we say? We're joined by Chef Andre Rush, who's become sort of a, not sort of, but definitely a viral sensation in the media. Chef, we're talking before the break about when you, your path from the Army to the White House. Tell us how you got there.
Well, I started, of course, you don't just go to the White House. You don't just, you know, you go to the White House and, you know, people think it's easier said than done. I mean, you have to go through a amount of things where, first off, being a security clearance, Yankee, TFSEI, so forth, so on. That's one of the steps of it. Even with your skills, no matter how good of a chef you are, you still have to be able to belong to a team. You have to know a lot of things that's going to incorporate to make yourself functional, feasible for that organization. And a lot of other organizations that I've been in as well, getting along with other people, supporting other people. You know, you have to be able to lead and follow at the same time. You can't hold this and that. But to pass all of that is, when I was younger, back in 1997, when I first went over, which was at the Blair House, the guest house, and over at the White House, someone that was there actually gave me my first opportunity to go over, and I tried out, and of course, like I said again, with all those things in play, it worked out. And fortunately, with the people that's there, that's the head chef with Chris and Tommy, and they're there, and they've been there the whole entire time. Of course, with me going back and forth from deployments to the military, they always welcome me back with open arms. And it's just a family environment, and it's a small community, a small team, but everything has to be perfect and run perfectly.
Well, Chef, I tell you, when we hopefully we'll have some time to talk a little bit more about food, but honestly, I meant that when I said it. You know, the messages you're sharing are so much larger. If I were to pass you on the street, you know, I mean, if I could, Chef, do you have the show on in the background there?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the show on in the background there at your house? Still with the chef? Yeah, I can hear you fine. We're getting some feedback here. I don't know if you had the show on in the background there or not.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll figure it out on this end. But anyways, I was saying, if I were to pass you on the street, I mean, if I could even get by, I would never guess, just looking at you, that you're a master ice carver, you know, accomplished pastry chef, certified three-star military chef. And I think, though, that that's precisely the message that you're sending right now. You can't judge a book by the cover, or we shouldn't judge people at all. On your Twitter feed just a few days ago, you mentioned that you actually stopped to correct a businessman on the street who was disrespecting a homeless woman.
Yes.
So are you – I'm guessing now that you've got the benefit of newfound celebrityship, what I really love about you is, sir, you're paying that forward with sharing some more important messages.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about it is that I had a choice when all of this happened is to think about myself or think about what to happen or what's going to happen or is it going to be 5 minutes of this or 15 minutes of fame? I don't know. I don't care. The thing about it is this has been my way my entire life. I've always been this way. But, you know, of course, with the magic of social media, if you have a platform to spread something wider and to a lot more people, then that's the course of action that I'm going to take. And like I think I told you before, that my audience, surprisingly enough, is between the ages of 14, 15 to 30, 35. I get hundreds of people contacting me personally a day, and I answer each and every last one of them. From things as simple as, hey, chef, how do I gain muscle? Or, hey, chef, you know, young kids, 14, 15, saying I was going to take, you know, some illegal substances, and I saw your story, and I'm not doing it, to people even as severe as suicide, you know. And on a lot of matters, you know, of course, I'm not a suicide expert, but the one thing I'm not going to do is say, hey, call 800 number. That's a no-brainer. You know, people with suicide, even if they have it, first off, they'll never ever say it unless someone is kind of familiar or went something that that kind of can relate to what they've gone through. And I've been through multiple occasions when that happened. So my message, of course, is much greater than me. It's much greater than the White House. And, you know, it's surprising that I have, and I'm blessed and pleased that so many people are so receptive to what I'm saying, you know. And I repeat over and over again, this is not about me. It's all about us and we, you know, is, you know, inspire each other, give back, teach each other, grow our youth. You know, and anything that hit me that day, just like for the women, the woman that was homeless, and, you know, when that person said what he said to her, it hit me hard. And aside, you know, that I come to him because I come to everybody respectfully. You know, you don't have to be intimidating. You don't have to raise your voice or do anything else. You can, I tell everybody, I said, I love the people that give me positive feedback, and I love the people even more that give me negative feedback, because they make me grow 1,000 times stronger. So I appreciate you both. But the negative people, they keep me around even more prominent, and definitely.
Well, Chef, I tell you, the reason you got on my radar was, frankly, I was a little hurt because you didn't challenge me to flex for forces. You challenged Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm getting over that. But tell us about Flex for Forces.
Flex for the Forces, the USO, of course. Any chance I'll get, I'll support the military. The USO has been doing Flex for the Forces for the last couple of years. And it was to empower not only the military, but the spouses, the families, and everybody else that is surrounding the military entity, just kind of like to come together and do Flex for the Forces. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, you know, I just took off his ad. There's no Max Field, of course, which I love. He supports the military 1,000,000%. He was so kind and gracious to do that. And it just, it was, I get chill bumps even thinking about the support that he gave to going to that, because the response was overwhelming. And, you know, from that caveat, I knew right then and there, even beforehand, that, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, whether it be Flex for the Forces, other military installations. I just did an interview for the VFW, you know, talking about things like that, other interviews. So everything, you know, a message is a message, whether it be for the military, but in collaboration. Of course, the military is one entity, but we have this whole entire world around us. And you have kids that's involved, whether it be them wanting to join the military, education, about life decisions, you know, anything that's anything, I will address. If it hits me that day, that's why I want to address. Not only military, which I love the military, don't get me wrong, because that's why I always do join forces. But this world is so big, and it's sometimes it seems so divided, and sometimes we have so many negative things in this world that it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating enough. So they say that one person can't change anything. I put up something yesterday where I said, you know what, I'll make a deal with you. If there's 1,000,000 things wrong in this world, 1,000,000 problems we could address, I'll do 999,099 if you'll just take on one, right? So I'll leave the rest of it. But, you know, the caveat to that is that if one person takes on one out of that nine, that million, you know, we'll have so many things kind of spread out.
Chef, and I tell you, that's one of the things that struck me, because and folks can follow you, your Twitter feed, if I get this right, it's at Real Chef Rush.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and you post regular messages on there, good healthy messages for folks, and I, as I mentioned, we're doing show prep. I volunteered for about 10 years with a group that worked with homeless teens and street kids. I mean, the most vulnerable of our homeless population, and sometimes that can be overwhelming if you're not used to that, but it struck me when you said that. One of the things we told our volunteers is, look, if you can only do one thing, whether not when you're volunteering, just if you're out there and you see a homeless person, make eye contact. You don't have to give them anything. You don't have to say anything. But if you just acknowledge eye to eye that there's another human being standing there, that begins to make a world of difference.
And, you know, you just made my heart drop, because I just volunteered my time. I went down to Maryland, Lexington Park, outside of Pex River, drove down Thursday night, got there, and got up early that morning, and we fed the homeless, we fed kids, we fed, you know, families, and it was a wonderful organization. Small town, but it was to bring awareness. No organization is too small, mm-hmm. right? It is. They were so appreciative. I mean, they hugged and they cried, and I feel like I was a prisoner in the United States, but I told them, I felt like they were, you know, you hit it right on the head. It was just so rewarding that that I just said that I have to be there. I have to be anywhere I can possibly be to do anything to bring kind of awareness that it is in the world. And people don't understand what being homeless, they are never known to put themselves in a situation. You would never know. You say, well, why are they homeless? You know, they can get a job, they can do this. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what people are going through, what they've been through, their mental capacity, or how everywhere. And when you get homeless, debt. You have, you're like, well, here's a vet, he could have been for VA, or he could have got this, or she could have got this. You don't know. So don't assume. Just think of that person, of them persons, or whoever it may be, as one of your family members, one of your kids, your son, or your daughter, your auntie, your uncle, niece, whatever. Now put it in perspective, and all of a sudden your view changes because right. It's you.
You're spot on, Chef. I'm glad you're saying that. Folks, we'll be right back here in just a few seconds. We're joined live by Chef Andre Rush. He's a viral sensation, but I tell you what, he's a big man, but he's got even bigger stories to tell, and I've been calling him the gentle giant. It's okay because he's on the other side of the world right now, and he can't hurt me. When we come back, Chef, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about Sergeant Wesley Durden. I think that situation, although difficult to discuss, will really introduce our listeners to one of the other things that you're doing to support our veterans out there and the 22 push-up challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. Follow us on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. You can find this podcast and over 150 others, AmericanWarriorRadio.com. If you'd like to help out, visit Patreon.com, Patreon.com, American Warrior Radio. For less than a cup of coffee a month, you can help us spread these important messages. We'll be right back.
Who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live on the phone by Chef Andre Rush. He's an Army veteran. He has prepared meals from everywhere, from the middle of nowhere in Iraq, right on up to the White House. Chef, I want to... Well, let's talk about this. There's a program called the 22 Push-Up Challenge where we challenge people to do 22 push-ups to memorialize or to remind us that we've got 22 veterans a day losing their lives to suicide. In your case, you're doing 2,222 push-ups. Is that right?
That is correct. Actually, it's Mission 22, which is collaborate on, as you said, 22 military veterans that commit suicide. A day. Of course, that number could be higher, but that was kind of generalized throughout the nation.
Well, Chef, I want you to tell us a little bit about Sergeant Wesley Durden, because I tell you, when I read that story and the impact it had on you, I think it's a textbook case of how people can tell us about Sergeant Durden, if you wouldn't mind.
Sergeant Wesley Durden was one of my soldiers, and he was, to kind of summarize, he was in Iraq, and he came back from Iraq for a compassionate reassignment. They assigned him to New York. I was there, did not know him, and reached out to him and asked him if he wanted to come and train with me. And caveat to that, I said, it'll be the hardest job you'll ever have training with me, but it'd be the most rewarding job in your life. And he gladly accepted. So I started training him, and I had for probably about maybe 7 to 8 months. While I was training him, he was a cook, and he didn't know a lot of things. Within the first month, he came to me, and he thanked me over and over again and said that this was the best part of his entire career he's ever had, and his 7 or 8 years that he was in the military. He was only 23 or 24 at the time. Fast forward, we talked all the time. I helped him develop a foundation for pastries and cooking and so forth, and we decided to get him on a cooking show because he always said, "Chef, you need to have your own cooking show." And I'm like, "No, I'm okay, but you need to have yours or do something." So at the time, it was the Next Great Baker that was out. Got him and said, "Hey, we're gonna try it." He got out, did it, sent a tape up to him. They picked him. He was getting out the military at the same time, so that was part of it, to have his foundation to start his own business. And he had a family, you know, wife and two kids, and a very happy-go-lucky guy. While he was doing the show, if you saw the picture circulating, that was him actually at the studio of the Next Great Baker in the bathroom. He went into the picture and sent it to me and told me how proud I would be of him, which I was and I still am. And he called me every day. And one day he told me I was one of the soldiers. And I saw the phone ring and I said, "I'll call him back in a little while." I talked to him every day, every other day, or at least once a day. We text or a call. And that day turned to night. That morning I was going to Fort Eustis, Virginia. At like 3 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call from a number which I knew was an Iraq number, you know, from overseas. Mm-hmm. And I was driving a drive. It was about two and a half, three hours. It was one of my soldiers, well, one of my friends, and he told me that Wesley Sergeant David had taken his life. I didn't know because he just called me. I was supposed to call him back today. That's not possible. In belief that I'm driving, but I want to know the report. And he said he'll get it for me. And I don't know what that would have done. I don't know. It was to verify that it was true. Right after that, a couple hours later, as I was pulling into Fort Eustis, two and a half hours later, his wife called and told me the same thing and said that they wanted me to come to eulogy because of how much they knew I meant to Wesley. So he wasn't only my soldier, but he was also a friend. He was a brother. He was a father. He was a son. He was an inspiration and to everyone. And the part about it was that he was literally one of the most, one of the happiest guys that you could meet. He always had a smile. When I yell, when I said do this and do it over, he never wavered. He never changed his demeanor. He never changed anything. And when that happened, and I was there in realization doing his eulogy in Fort Bragg, Carolina. I never forgot it. I still never forget it. And when all of this happened with me was, I talked about it, and vicariously I use Sergeant Durden as a foundation for that. And he speaks through me because there's so many people that have gone through so many things. And since then, you know, even in the last 2 weeks, I've gotten phone calls and from friends and people saying that I wish that someone would have heard you say this or say that. And just recently I had a phone call from a friend of mine who said a young lady who's 24 who just got a new job and who's getting ready to, you know, start a new career, and, you know, she was a fitness person, and Saturday she went out shopping and Sunday she
that night she took her own life, and, you know, she was only 24, and the same exact way. And that's the awareness that I try to get people to understand on one aspect of it. So with my 2,222 push-ups, I do is for the military, of course. That's a foundation, but I also do it for, you know, the homeless, the helpless, you know, the kids that's been bullied. For the earliest case was an 8-year-old kid taking their own lives, which how does an 8-year-old know to do anything like that? Where did they see that? How do they know that? You know, so it's so many different things that we don't pay attention to until it actually happens or impacts us.
Yeah.
So I talk about it, you know, I'm very sporadic with the things I talk about, because the things I talk about is things I don't even think about all the time until they become, you know, relevant right then and there. But with suicide, like I said, that's here all the time. And then in recent cases, which, you know, Robin Williams and Anthony Bourdain and other people that, you know, famous celebrities that we see happen, is more impactful. But it's more impactful. It doesn't matter who that person is, right?
Right.
It could be it doesn't matter. It shouldn't take, you know, people. It shouldn't even take me to talk about things like this. And that's why I always say for everybody, you know, they say, thank you, Chef. And I say, thank you. I mean, you're saving my life. I'm here for you, because you have no idea. I am feeding off of each and every person that is saying thank you and driving me. And, a young lady in my inbox today, and she said, Catherine, she said, Chef, thank you so much. You know, you inspire me, and you here, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. I said it. That was the few that I needed to go another 100 years.
Right, and I think, Chef, in many ways, this comes back to what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, don't judge someone because you don't know. You can't see inside their mind and inside their
exactly.
soul. You don't know what they're going through. And, I mean, gosh, if a guy like you that can bench 700 pounds can admit or, you know, say when I, you know, you need help, then that should be something that hopefully will inspire others to say, you know, pick up the phone or reach out to someone before you do something that you can't reverse.
You know, and that's true. I remember my case because when I went through something and when my principal said, hey, Andre, you need to go and take care of you. And I was walking out of a place, and I walked past this other guy who was forces. He was special forces. I know, because he was had his tabs and things on. And he walked past me, and I walked past him. And I got to the elevator, and he ran back to me, and he looked at me, and he put his hand out, and he shook his hand. And the thing he said to me was, if you're here, I know that I should be here. So I'm saying thank you. And we looked at each other, and we gave each other a handshake, and we gave each other a hug. And from that time on, I never held my head down or felt embarrassed about anything. I did the same thing to other people to do the exact same thing. You know, never be ashamed about what you went through, how you feel, anything. Don't ever let anybody try to deter you from you.
Spot on. Chef, we've got one more segment with you. Stay tuned, folks. As your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, we'll be back with Chef Andre Rush right after these messages.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Chef Andre Rush, and I tell you what, he's a big man, 24-inch biceps, but the messages he's sharing are even bigger, and we're so glad that he's taken the time to join us today. He's literally everywhere across the country now, and we congratulate him on his success, even though he stumbled into it. Is that okay, Andre?
That is okay.
Listen, let me ask you, what's it like to be an internet meme?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I have not figured it out yet. I've been too busy kind of answering messages. But I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Well, I tell you, I know you, like I said, you've been on Food and Wine, you've been on several TV stations, and now you're stepping into the big time on American Warrior Radio, Andre. So you're covered. You're developing your new skill set for that. So let me ask you this. Ben gets one dumb question every show. When are we going to see you and Chef Ramsay together in a competition?
Ramsay.
Hell's Kitchen, British guy. He's got 15 different shows.
Yeah, I know who Chef. I don't know if he could handle me.
Ooh.
I think I might be a little too, a little bit too intimidating. No, I'm just joking.
actually, he's one of our, Laura and my guilty pleasures, and I know he, one of the videos I enjoyed was he actually went out and did some training with the British Special Forces, and he actually didn't do too bad, and then of course he prepared him a meal afterwards as is appropriate.
That's awesome.
Well, Andre,
no,
go ahead, sir.
No, I said no. He's wonderful. He's great.
Well, I tell you, it wouldn't be. I'm gonna, just pull rank here if you don't mind. With the last part of our segment, we'll get back to some of your charities and what you believe in, but I want to talk a little bit of food with you. I don't want to miss that opportunity. Tell me about as a civilian, the White House. How does that work? I mean, what if the president or the first lady wants a sandwich or a midnight snack? I mean, just logistically. Do they just wander down and get it, or is there someone always on staff to prepare the food?
I would assume they can do whatever they want to do. I mean,
well, good point.
It is the president and the first lady. So if somebody's available, they could ask for a sandwich or a snack, or they could have it in their room. However they choose fit. I mean, even myself, I have a whole chicken inside in my room right now.
Nice.
Right on my bed.
Nice.
Yeah, I do.
Well,
let's
talk a little bit about food, if you don't mind. Maybe you'll even share a recipe with us. But one of your other messages, Chef, is about health and healthy eating and staying fit. What, when it comes to preparing food and healthy eating, is there something that comes to mind with you that are some of the common mistakes that the uneducated amongst us do? I mean, I never know this week if butter's good for me or bad for me. What?
On my Instagram, I have a few followers, and they ask that same question. And it's so many common mistakes, from label reading to, for just ill knowledge. People don't understand kinesiology, the breakdown, nutrition, intake. I mean, so many different things, which I put out all my information, even more so on Instagram, and give tidbits and telling people how to eat, what they should eat, especially with vegans, gluten-free, if they have celiac disease. So I break down things elementary for ordinary people to understand. So you don't get big words to try to confuse people or try to make myself sound more educated or whatever. I tell people on a realistic basis on how to take care of themselves, not for just now, but for longevity. I am longevity. I don't do it for the workout for a couple months, a couple years, and then 10 years down the line, I said, well, I used to look like that back when I was done. There's no used to. What about now? Mm. Because you are the person that's going to inspire your kids and so forth and so on and keep the generation going. But a part of that is, especially now with all of the stereotypes of stigmas of eating this and that, because like you just said, 1 minute butter is good for you, 1 minute coffee is good for you, 1 minute is bad for you. And so it's up to you to be knowledgeable. If you don't have Google or things to look it up, which a lot of people don't, just ask an expert. Ask somebody that has lived through it, has gone through it, and kind of knows what their body, because each person is different, of course. But I try to, no, I don't try, I do give people everything they need to know on a regular basis on how their body actually works and kind of break it down in the same way.
You know, Chef, I know that you take joy from cooking, and in many ways that's been therapy for you. I gotta say, honestly, I'm recently married. I'm 4 months of wedded bliss. And
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. One of the gifts that we received was actually from a Navy SEAL that owns a number of restaurants here in town. He bought us some very high quality knives. And I must tell you that it's become a joy to cook again. Seriously, we're just using the right tools. And that's, I don't want to call it therapy, but my wife and I, that's our time together in the kitchen cooking together. And I can think of very few other things where you get to eat your mistakes. So, you know, we got that going for us too.
No, I agree. Cooking is therapy, and that's thing that I've done and I've taught for many, many, many years, and I use it for my social anxiety and things that goes on with myself because it's just so therapeutic. But you hit it right on the head when you said a lot of my guys in the Wounded Warriors or have that mental or even a physical capacity where they just don't want to do things. The only thing you're going to do every day is eat. You know, you may not go to the gym every day, but you are right there, and you're going to eat something. And so I say, why don't you stimulate your mind, your body, bring your kids and your wife, your spouse, girlfriend, boyfriends into it, and create something together, right? You'll be surprised how the brain works and how that stimulation comes together, that camaraderie, that social adaptiveness, especially when you get into that environment and you create something that you've never created before. The smell, the senses, of course, everything activates on the brain, and you have a whole different world.
Chef, we're getting low on time here. We've got just about 3 minutes left. What other messages do you feel that you want to share that you need our listeners to hear or you want to reinforce?
You know, every message I have is a message that I'm just sharing. It's personal, is something I've been through, is something that other people have been through, and I'll keep on saying it. Like, again, it's not about me. It's about everyone supporting each other. You know, do what you need to do. Physical health, mental health, it all, it goes together. But once in a while, just stop being political. Stop putting up the finger and blowing everybody. Mm-hmm. Hug your neighbor, hug a friend, inspire a kid to inspire someone else. Do something that's going to make you happy. Love one another. Love each other. Keep cooking, of course. And if you have anything, believe me personally, I will answer each and every last one of you myself.
Well, God bless you, sir. I really appreciate that. What's next for Chef Rush?
I have a few things coming. So I'll just kind of hold on to them. Hopefully, whether they come or don't, I'll still just be around bugging everybody and still preaching my same message.
Well, that's okay by me. Folks, you can learn more. Follow him on Twitter, @RealChefRush. Is there other places folks can find you?
I'm on IG at RealChefRush also, and Facebook at Andre Rush.
Okay.
So RealChefRush for IG and Twitter, and Andre Rush for Facebook.
Well, Chef, you're lucky you know me because I've got something coming up for you. I'm going to call up Chef Ramsey's folks. I'm going to tell them that you said that he can't keep up with you in the kitchen. We'll put together a little competition here in Tucson. We'll host you, and we'll raise some funds for some veterans' causes. What do you think about that?
I anything for the veterans, of course. I love that.
Okay, and what I'll do is I will sneak you my recipe for the best ceviche in the world.
I love ceviche. It's my weekend.
Well, I tell you, when it comes to me, there can never be too much cilantro or too much ginger when you're doing the cooking there. Real quick, do you want to share? We got 1 minute. Any quick recipes?
Well, none of my recipes. Actually, all my recipes are quick, but I can't pick anything right off the top besides, you know, a protein recipe. I tell people, they talk about protein smoothies. Make your own protein smoothies. Almond milk, get some powdered peanut butter from the store, some of your bananas, some of your nuts, some quinoa, put them together, bring them up with some spinach, and you have a perfect blend of aminos, omegas, and protein.
Wonderful. Chef Rush, thank you so much for your time today, and keep on keeping on, brother. Folks, another message, another one in the can. You can find this and other shows at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Warrior Radio TUC. Or on Facebook, AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place.